The View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 15th of January, 2019. My name's Patrick Smith. Just me, well, for now. I do have recordings of the guys coming up, because what we're going to do is we're going to bring to you all the stuff we sort of recorded over the course of what was a fabulous weekend to experience. Okay, the Belfast Giants fell short on Sunday, and maybe, you know, but they did pick up the silver medal in the 2019 IIHF Continental Cup. However, as an experience, especially on that Sunday, it was one that those that were there as Giants fans, and I know speaking from a personal point of view, it's a game and maybe a weekend that will live long in the memory. Not because of glory, but because of pride in the team and pride in the performance, and experience what was a sensational few games for the Belfast Giants. But we'll come to that, because I brought a microphone along to the weekend. I got the guys together at various points. We talked about the games that we'd seen and reflected on how we thought the Giants would do, how the Giants would got on, and we'll come to that as we go on. What we also had on Saturday night at McCool's is where I want to start. I want to start with a massive thank you, because the crowd that turned up to the View from the Bridge live at McCool's is the biggest we've seen. We can't thank you enough. Those of you guys who came along and packed out that bar. It was four deep at the bar. I know I tried to get a beer at the start and it took me too long. I had to step up and say, hey, the guys are on their way. It was phenomenal. You guys got involved. There was some good crack. I know it's very humbling from a personal point of view, because I'm sitting here for a change, actually, because the guys aren't usually. I've got these headphones on. I'm chatting to the guys on Skype or whatever. But this one maybe is a little bit more echo. I'm recording it from my living room because it is a bit of a simpler one, and I'm having an ice cream and just to soothe the throat. So what the podcast is basically just us in our individual rooms talking hockey with your mates. So to walk into your room, such as McCool's bar that night, and see, I dread to think how many people were there. It was just packed out. It was very humbling from our point of view. I just want to say a very personal thank you to everybody who showed up and chatted to us afterwards. And you know, it means a great deal to us. And we hope you enjoyed yourselves. I just want to say a big thanks as well to, of course, to Davey, to Joel, to Simon, for taking the time to come up on stage and have the crack. The coach back on behind the AVFTB mic, Robert Fitzpatrick, who created his own controversy. We'll come to that later in the show. To Connor Fishcall, well, Luke Fisher, the Elite League main man for the media, now came up and answered your questions and ours, and he was a really good sport all around and a good guy. I actually want to say thanks. There was a guy I know I'm rambling on, but you know, skip forward if you're not interested. There was a guy at the start, and I didn't get to thank him, who turned up to the stage with four beers and just set them on the stage. Whoever that guy was, if you're out there listening, thank you very much. It was very much appreciated. To the guy at the front that kept shouting, yes, yes, fair play to you, mate. I hope you enjoyed yourself. But mostly, I just want to thank everybody out there who turned up, because, you know, those of you from the Bridges, the live shows and McCool's, they're fun to do. They really are fun to do. And sometimes we ramble on a bit, and sometimes we get a bit lost in direction of what we were chatting. But we hope we covered most things and we had a bit of a laugh. Oh, and thanks to Omar Pasha for appearing on FaceTime. Thanks to Coach McCollum, but for Omar Pasha. And that was a bit of a laugh too. So yes, hopefully we'll do another one of those soon. Let's batter on. Like I say, pretty special weekend for the Belfast Giants. We'll come to the games in a bit. We're going to also hear from Ice Hockey UK's Andy French. We've got an interview with Albert Maslin, one of the original owners of the Belfast Giants, and we'll wrap it up at the end with a few words from Adam Keefe that we recorded this morning. But let's look at the 2019 IIHF Continental Cup Final, which took place this weekend at the SSE Arena. I'll skip over the games not involving the Giants. All the statistics for those, of course, are available on the IIHF website. Needless to say, game one was between GKS Katowice and Arlan Coxsackie, who I will forthwith refer to as Arlan. Arlan winning that game 4-2, and we go into the game. Belfast Giants took on HK Gommel in the first game. With regards to statistics, the Belfast Giants goals in a 5-0 win came from David Rutherford, Patrick Dwyer, Darcy Murphy, Colin Shields, and Chris Higgins on his third debut for the Belfast Giants, picking up that fifth goal. To reflect on that and look ahead to the following game against GKS Katowice, we got together beforehand and had a chat. I will say about these recordings, this is a new microphone. Maybe the sound is a bit up and down, but bear with us. There's some good crack in there.
6:45 on the Saturday. We're in the luxurious. Was it?
Paddy, catch up here.
It's 6:10.
It's wrong.
That's what you're watching when you come in England.
We're forward half an hour over here. 6:15.
That's not well. 10:10.
All right,
Saturday.
It's Saturday. We're in between games. We're only about guts of 45 minutes before the game between Belfast Giants and GKS Katowice. Joining me are Simon, Davey, and the real deal, Joel Neal. Start with you, Simon. We've just endured a pretty one-sided game between Arlan and Gommel. What do you think of that?
Honestly, it was tough. The best thing to come out of it was a £196 bet.
But the overs.
No, it was tough. Like it was tough to call. I mean, obviously, you and I were calling the game for Belfast Giants TV, but it was a difficult game to translate and stay in, if you know what I mean. But Arlan completely dominated the game. The worst thing about it is they look as if they come out unscathed. They didn't really have much of a test, and they get plenty of rest for tomorrow night.
David, you called the game last night. With Gummel play. Who's this? Oh, look. Any comments?
Bring him in.
We've unexpectedly been joined by a man wearing a Manchester City jacket. He's an Everton fan, as far as I was aware.
I thought he was an Everton fan.
Welcome back to the podcast, Television's Neil the Coach Russell.
Ladies
and gentlemen. How much aftershave is he wearing?
By the way, because this is a podcast and people can't see it, you should have smelly, but this guy smells incredible.
$1 million
Put that tongue away.
Well, Coach, I was just about to ask him.
We're
all going like rambling.
We're not doing this later on in McCool.
This is the stuff that we're actually recording. So, what do you think of the game the Giants played last night? Gommel played this afternoon. We're absolutely destroyed by Arlan. There's no other way of putting it. 8-2. Giants, 5-0 against them last night. What do you think?
Thought the Belarusian team were very average, if the truth be told. I think the Giants did a professional job. All in all, good to see Chris Higgins back in the lineup. Obviously he's been out of the game off the last kind of couple of seasons, but good to see him back in Teal. Thought Patrick Dwyer again, I know I've commented on a few occasions with you guys and what have you, but I just think he's lights out good. What a signing he's been. Pescovani had a fairly quiet night. I think certainly tonight and definitely tomorrow evening he'll be a lot busier, and kind of like the Giants have done thus far this season, I think we're going to rely quite heavily on Pescovani to I won't wrap it up. I'm back for one night only and I am going to get my time.
Catch you later.
But I thought it was a professional performance all in all, but big game tonight.
Davey, the Belfast Datsuk does it again.
Yeah.
He sure does.
There's no point in me elaborating, Neil's already said
alright then tonight we're up.
Thanks, Dave.
The rematch against Katowice tonight. The Giants are out to try to make right what went wrong in the semi-finals.
Look, I think that whole game hinged on, we're 2-0 up. I think that whole game hinged on the major penalty to Kevin Rain. I think it was a pretty soft call at the time. And, from that we went into, the penalty kill, which didn't work out brilliant for us. It ended up coming out 4-2. We knew already, we'd probably done enough to go through to the final. All we can do is put ourselves in a position now to win this game. That leaves us one game away from the championship. So focus on this 60 minutes and just get her done.
That's it, Joel, isn't it? Because you have at the end of this game, should the Belfast Giants come out with a win, it will be a take-all game tomorrow night against Arlan.
Yeah, I mean, as much as you want to look at the goal differential in the first game there today, as you boys say, win your games and you don't have to worry about it. The rematch tonight is a tantalising one. I mean, I think I fancied us the first time against the Polish side. They've got some fantastic players. Their goaltender, Kevin Linskog, is phenomenal. Their assistant captain, Jesse Rolta, the forward, absolutely unbelievable. It's just about the difference in styles. You know, the Giants play a very American, North American style forechecking game. The thing that Katowice can kill us with is speed, and it's quite similar to Arlan. I remember going to Lancia in 2012, and the night we played the Lancia Cannibals, we could not stay out of the box because the refs were calling it like a European game, and we relied so heavily on that forecheck. So it just depends tonight whether we can cancel each other out, whether we can find a sort of neutral ground between the two. But I fancy this last time we were 3-2 up, or sorry, 3-2 down. There was an empty netter at the end to make it 4-2. We were in that game right to the death, and I think we can take them tonight.
Quick round of table says we got this tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely. I honestly think we'll win this game. I think it'll be tight, but I think we've got enough to win it. You know, Joel touched on speed for the Poles. We've a very quick lineup. There's some real quality skaters in our lineup, and again, I think it's going to be important. I just looked at the officials tonight, Alexander Garon and Andreas Koch, which is it's a Swiss referee. So, you know, Canadian referees always usually seem to let things go, but hopefully that man. Cock from Switzerland keeps his whistle in his pocket.
Coach,
I think the Giants will run out easy. But can I just ask? Can I interrupt this? Bro, who are these two pretenders? Who are they? Anyone?
Who are you talking about?
Listen, boys, who are these boys, guys? Listen, sorry, like, we'll just take it to the car park. Right now,
Giants went easy tonight.
Okay, Davey.
I'm not so sure it'll be an easy win. I think, you know, Lindiskagen, that's is, you know, first goal is crucial. Get the first goal, we'll go from there, and you know, that's I'm hoping for a win.
Joel.
Tight game. I think we'll squeak it. I think we'll squeak it based on the top line, based on the partnership between Chris Higgins and Paddy Dwyer. I think there's a lot more to come from that line with Kyle Bond in the background as a big body. It's going to be tight though.
40 minutes to face off. Oh, Grom.
Are they new batteries for an iPhone?
Why do you have four batteries on the
table? For the microphone.
For the microphone.
Can I ask? Can I ask a question? Does this justify the media pass?
Straight in.
Neil and Coach Russell wearing a media pass here, double IHF. But, you know, we all talk about who the big deal is.
Oh, we know who the big deal is.
Yeah, right, 40 minutes to face off, boys. Thanks very much.
Oh, here. Right on. Tell them who we've got tonight on AVFTB Live.
Why are you
we're bringing the EIHL. Luke?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've a few people coming on. Well, we've got Neil and Coach Russell coming on.
Who's he?
The guy next to TV's Neil and Coach
Russell. Best friend.
Yeah. Recognise him by a fake
tan.
And we've been talking to Luke Fisher, media man, the new media man from the Elite League, who's agreed to come and join us on stage, as long as we don't ask any pressing questions, which we're definitely going to ask.
100%.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The first questions we're going to ask.
Probably enjoyed my interview, but I'm saying nothing more.
How's things at Phonacab?
Phonacab is fabulous, mate.
Okay.
Taxi home tonight.
Another sponsor, a good sponsor of the Belfast Giants. 100%.
Ding, ding.
Have you not seen the four face-off circles out in the ice there? It's the left one, the right one, the left one, and the Phonacab one. No, that's what you get for
saying.
Sorry, mate.
Right, sorry, what was the question?
No, there was no question.
We're wrapping up the line up for tonight. So TV's Neil Coach Russell.
So we got Luke Fisher from the
special guest, or is that still
that was supposed to be him?
It's
to
see
not that special.
Yeah. Pep Guardiola in the flesh.
You're special in a very different way.
Is the CEO joining us tonight?
I haven't seen him, so we will.
Yes, we'll get him on.
I got grilled last night.
There's no show without punch.
Absolutely.
We'll get him on.
None of it's going to be recorded, so we can say what we want.
Oh, sorry.
That's not nine.
I didn't finish it. It's okay.
Right, let's wrap it up. Thanks, boys.
Your big machine.
McFall can't clear. Good pressure from the Polish outfit. Again, Malasinski sends it inside. Lovely goal. Chance coming in. What a save from Tyler Biskerwami! Unbelievable!
Simon, this is one that'll be replayed for many, many years to come. That is simply sensational save. He had no right to make that, although the forward really needs to do better there with burying that. But, you know, Tyler Biskerwami throws that big mitt up in the air and unbelievably keeps the score at 0-0.
Get back a little bit of a afters there. Darcy Murphy tries to get through. Save! Darcy Murphy with the shot! Not too sure if it took a deflection in front or it was a bobble and puck. but the Giants score first, 2:53 to go in the first period. And Josh Roshan outwork a shot coming in, and there's a quick goal at the start of the second period. Turnover along the wall, 19 seconds in. There's a chance here now. Blue shot coming in just wide of post. Rebound out far! Darcy Murphy, his second goal of the game! Shot coming in from the point. Kendall McFall misses the target. Darcy Murphy first to react, and he slaps it upstairs past the goaltender. And I get a chance for the chance here. Shot coming in! Carlos Leonard! 15 seconds on the clock, and the Giants are back in front.
So it was off the face-off. We made the slip play to Darce. We've been running, and then Darce kicked it out to Blair, and I hopped in the rush. She dropped it to me, and I got it over the glove, and it was pretty exciting. And then I think it went banged in the glass. I blacked out a little bit after that.
Oh, we deserved it. We certainly had our chances to put that game away throughout the game. The credit to their goaltender, played extremely well, and obviously a very clutch goal there to start us off in the third period, and really allows us to let loose a little bit and let go of the nerves and just close the game out. And obviously at the end there with the penalty trouble that they ran into, that helps us seal the deal.
Dwyer to the blue line for Roche now. Roche, he shoots, tips in front, Giants 4-2 up. Dustin Johnner gets the goal! 1:08 to go!
Yeah, the Belfast Giants here. Katowice players. Tom Cullen has taken his players off the ice. He's taken his jacket off. He won't let his players come back onto the ice. And as the Belfast Giants are lined up for the face-off, they've got no opposition at the minute. Tom Cullen lost his cool, he's taking his jacket off, he's shouted the referee, he's taking a misconduct call, he's telling the players to get back out on the ice at the minute they're not coming.
Cullen not happy with that. Tom Cullen has lost his cool. Looks like he's about to come on the bench there.
On outdoors, took a terrible battering there the night, Simon, so it has. But Tom Cullen's away to get the first use of the hot water.
Yes, the Belfast Giants took the game over GKS Katowice 4-2. Just revenge for what took place in the semi-final stage. But hands down, one of the best atmospheres to that point. One of the best atmospheres we had all season in the SSE Arena, not least due to the wonderful, about 400, I believe, Katowice fans who made the trip over and made themselves heard just as they'd done before. So fair play to them. The goal scorers in that Katowice game, well, Darcy Murphy opened the scoring for the Belfast Giants before Jesse Rolta, who was the top scorer for the tournament, made it 1-1. Darcy Murphy made it 2-1 before Yana Lakanen equalised just before the second period ended. Curtis Leonard with his second of this season and a man of the match performance made it 3-2, and then a man who was to go further the next night, Dustin Johnner, made it 4-2 on a 5-on-3 power play. As I say, that set up the winner takes on game against Arlan the following night, and we finished that Saturday night with the aforementioned A View from the Bridge live. So on Sunday, the first game was Gummel against Katowice, and Katowice dominated that game on 1-5 zip. With Arlan's victory over Gummel the previous day, 8-2, it set up that winner takes all battle that took place on Sunday. But before we come to all the chat around that, we've got a couple of interviews in a moment. We'll have an interview with Albert Masland, who was one of the first owners of the Belfast Giants. I had an opportunity to chat with him before the final game. But first, Mr. David McGimsey cornered Andy French, General Secretary of Ice Hockey UK, to get his thoughts not just on the tournament, but on GB and a lot of others besides.
Joined at the SSA Arena by General Secretary of IHUK, Andy French, and Andy, another successful tournament here in Belfast.
Yes, another good one. It was great after the third round, which Belfast qualified for the final, and then to come back and actually they hosting this one is excellent, and the crowd coverage has been really good. There's a lot of people here from Katowice, and last night the atmosphere in the building was electric. It was really good with the Giants playing.
And you know, this is we've been fortunate in Belfast here to be able to host the World Championships and now Continental Cup second time in sort of 6 months. You know, it says something for UK hockey that there's teams able to, you know, put these events on.
No, it's great. It's obviously when we had the World Championships here, it was a great experience with obviously GB getting promotion, and then the things that Belfast do here in this building, like, you know, the Friendship Four, and then you had the US girls over as well. And I think the actual facility, as people been saying to me that are actually here, like, it's an unbelievable facility here, and you've got the people here today from Champions Hockey League as well, and you know, they're just, all I can see them doing is filming and taking pictures, and they're very impressed, and they've had a walk around downstairs, and you know, it's, this is an event or a venue which is high in the world, to be honest.
And another one of your hats on, obviously Team GB, the under 18 girls last night coming away with the bronze medal, you know, maybe not unexpectedly, but certainly a prize that maybe when they went into the tournament would have, you know, been a stretch for them. A really, really good tournament for them.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for the women's hockey in the UK, especially with the national program, and give a lot of support to Cheryl and Michelle and that, and the coaching staff. And I can remember going back 3 years where they'd just been up and down from qualification, and the main aim was to stay in this. We fought to get a 1B for the women, and we have. And the aim was to actually stay in there. And last year they finished fifth. That's why we put into host. We thought it was a strong possibility that we'd do something. And for them to achieve the bronze medal, that team, the building of that team's taken 3 years. And like, they've moved up two places. They've got a medal. You've got a girl there from here, Kate. Caitlin, and I actually just showed Steve there. She's on her way back.
Yeah, on the boat.
Yeah, and I said to Steve, if she's not flying back to Canada today, it'll probably be tomorrow. Then I'd think about getting her out there to do the Player of the Game Awards tonight, or something, with a medal around her neck,
yeah,
and
super.
With all the fans in here, it'll be huge.
Yeah,
that's huge for her.
Her granny and grand. Just arrived. I was talking
to them in Dumfries, because I had to go there from January 1, and I was running that event, and then I left there on Thursday to come here for this event. But I was keeping an eye on what was going there last night. I had the web stream going for that, or the live stream, and watching this one as well. But no, really pleased. And then we got the other teams as well. The under 20s start tonight in Lithuania. They're in 2A, and we really want them to succeed and come away with a medal there. They won the bronze last year, so we're hoping for a bit more. 18s national team are off to Hungary, which will be tough because they're in 1B, so there's a lot better opposition and stronger. We just want them to survive. And then obviously you've got the senior women back in Dumfries, where we're expecting them to do something good this year. And the senior men that everyone's talking about, obviously back-to-back promotions, and off to Slovakia, which will be a long trip, hard trip. But as the boys were all saying when they were here, it's like living the dream, and they said it in Budapest, and who knows what will happen. And a few people actually fancy us to do something, like win a couple of games, and then everything changes around, and we're playing, everyone says we're in a tough group with USA, Canada, and et cetera, et cetera, but you've got Denmark, you've got Slovakia, you've got Germany, you know, and you don't know what's going to happen. You take every game as it comes.
And this has been a kind of roller coaster a couple of years for GB, you know, back-to-back promotions, you say, obviously getting promoted to the big league this year. It's put an awful lot of hockey for these guys.
It's huge. It's like with the senior men, the preparations will start literally a couple of days after the Elite League finals finish. And they're going to be together for at least a good 6 to 8 weeks. Because going away to Slovakia, they'll go on the 2nd of May and they're not back till the 23rd, 24th. And then prior to that, we've got the exhibition games in the UK, which is one's actually on February the 6th against Dynamo Riga. And then we've got another four games after that before they even leave the UK to go.
Let's get back into the Odyssey, or the SSE Arena as it is now in Belfast here. I'm not asking you to predict a scoreline tonight, but big game, Conor Farlan against Belfast.
Yeah, I think just my gut feeling is that I think Belfast really want this. You know, it's something that they love winning games, obviously, and that's the idea of the games that they play. and they're doing really, really well in the Elite League right now. You're between them and Cardiff, and they're in the Challenge Cup, and you know, they've got a lot of things going for them right now. But to win the Continental Cup, that's huge for UK hockey. It's huge for Belfast. And, you know, with Sheffield got to the final last year, Nottingham won it the year before. So for Belfast to actually add to that accolade, and then they qualify for Champions Hockey League, and it opens up another door for everybody in Belfast.
Well, Andy, thank you for your time. You seem to have been a frequent visitor to Belfast over the last few years. It's always nice to have you. We look forward to welcoming you back again.
Thank you.
We're only about an hour away from the face-off for the game between Ireland and the Belfast Giants, a game that the winner-takes-all game that will decide who become this year's Continental Cup champions. I'm delighted to be joined by a man synonymous in the history of the Belfast Giants, and that's Albert Maslin. How are you?
Hi, great.
Pleased to be here.
First of all, just get your take on the tournament so far. It's been a fabulous. Last night was a hell of a game.
Absolutely fabulous. I mean, last night's game was extraordinary. It was exciting, great fan participation. Was, you know, I sat here, and it sounds a bit trite, but really proud at what the Giants have done here in the community, and the role they play, and you know, to see an arena packed with families, and you know, family friendly entertainment, and Giants competing for one of the top prizes in ice hockey in Europe. Who'd have thought?
Well, that's it. We're talking, we're the guts of a 20-year history now. And, yeah, you know, you look all the way back to those days.
Well, actually,
and
more than 20 years. Right. Although the team actually, the first game was played in 1999.
Yes.
In fact, the idea started in probably 96.
Right.
And it was pretty funny. I have at home a box full of stuff from the early days, including business plans and things. And, you know, we sat there before the Good Friday Agreement, you know, coming up and helping pitch for the funding for the Millennium Commission for the building of the Odyssey and things. And you know, if I look back to those times and today,
yes,
you know, what a difference. And every single person, and I can't tell you, if I had a pound for every person who told me this was lunacy, this would never work, I'd actually be quite a rich man today.
That's fantastic. So what you're saying is that there was so much effort put on over the number of years to bring to what we have today. And you look, we had a packed out arena last night. We've got 400 Polish fans coming on to take it on. It's taken on a life of its own.
Yeah, no. It's taken a life of its own. I think it's part of the community now. It's look, we've got Northern Irish, you know, kids, men and women, mm-hmm, who are now playing for GB and for Ireland and stuff. And you know, who'd have thought we'd have homegrown kids now playing in professional leagues and in North America and things. So no, I think it's a really positive thing. So you know, I'm not involved anymore, but I still follow the club. Religiously, so.
Let me take you just briefly back to that first game here. Obviously, the Belfast Giants had played all of their games on the road, you know, in Nottingham and, you know, a few games in Milton Keynes, Coventry.
And we played all over the UK. It was, financially, it was a catastrophe for me, because we had no gate receipts.
I was going to say.
And we had the players staying in hotels and having to rent rinks where we had no home support, you know. So it was, you know, the stuff that people didn't see, it was actually very problematic. But
was that an early gamble, because you expected this rink to be, or this arena to be available for the start of the season?
The plan was always the arena would be there from the start of the season, and you know, these scale projects often don't, mm-hmm, come in on time, and it sadly didn't come in on time.
And that first game in December, this place was absolutely rammed. You, Bob Zeller, you watching this game, what are your recollections that day?
Oh, it was a magical evening. Just a magical evening. And, you know, to sit here and see a completely packed arena, with people, most of whom had never seen an ice hockey match in their lives, had no idea really what to expect. I don't know if you know the story, but we were so worried that people wouldn't come that weeks, maybe even months in advance, we were giving tickets to the players, saying, you know, all your neighbours, go make sure, you know, give these tickets out.
Yeah.
And you know, what a mistake. We thought we'd struggle to get people to come. And here it was. And for the first couple of seasons, you couldn't get a ticket for love nor money. So, you know, and obviously, you know, there were problems with the original league structure. And, you know, very sad, some of the things that happened. Really, most of which had nothing to do with the Giants, mm-hmm. but it did create problems. You know, so we went through a few tough times. But now, you know, you've got solid ownership with the Odyssey Trust, a fantastic group of people running the club, yeah. Steve Thornton and the whole crew. And you know, I look at some of the what's going on within the arena, and you know, it's a real. It's great. I mean, I have to say it's been a great weekend for me.
Yeah.
Coming back, and obviously it's been a great weekend. It can be a phenomenal weekend. Well, we just have one more game to go.
When you I'll try to think back. You're saying that story about getting Paxton Schulte and Jeff Ford to go around and knock doors and hand out tickets, and now you look to the fact that. The Belfast Giants and ice hockey on the sporting landscape or the cultural landscape of Northern Ireland has taken that next step where this brand and this badge is it's not unusual to see it around the city or around the country.
Yeah.
You know, it shows exactly how they've taken this team and this country's taken this team to their heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, you know, the Giants name, the brand, extends far beyond Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is without a doubt the best known club in I'll call it Great Britain and Ireland, in Europe, in North America. I mean, we've got big following in the States, and obviously things like having the Bruins play here and the Friendship Four and things. I mean, we punch way above our rate, and we're a real good advertisement for Northern Ireland.
Yeah. And when you look forward and you say you stay in touch with the team, you're still watching the team. It's great to have you here for this weekend. What do you think's possible for this club? Where do you see this club going?
Anything's possible. I think if we win tonight, I think that opens up opportunity to play in the CHL next year. We might get there just by winning the league as well. No, I think the club will go from strength to strength. International teams, the message is out. Belfast is a great place to go. The city's fun. The arena's is great. Facilities are great. The city is very accommodating and things. So I think the Giants will go from strength to strength. And we're perennial contenders in the Elite League, but I see the future being not just the Elite League, but us, participating regularly in other international competitions. As I say, we had the Polish fans in here. I mean, what a brilliant group. You know, they sat there, and I just watched the third and fourth place game effectively, and they sang the whole game. An event! I mean, they made so much noise. I'm simply thinking, wow. You know, we take a few more fans to do that just for the Giants. So,
yeah.
I think the future is very, very positive for the club, and for the city. And although I'm not technically involved anymore, I still, my heart still. This is still home. So.
We're very grateful to you, and we're very grateful to everybody who helped set up the Giants. And
don't forget Bob Zeller.
So, absolutely.
Because actually the Giants only exist because of Bob Zeller. He did everything from the name, choice of the name, the details, the whole project was really a dream of Bob Zeller's. And I think he often gets forgotten in the thing. So I need to put a word in.
Right.
I paid a lot of bills, but this exists because of Bob Zeller.
His drive, rightly so. Both your names are synonymous with the Belfast Giants history. And listen, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for chatting to us.
Pleasure.
Let's hope for a good result tonight.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure we'll get it.
44 minutes until the Belfast Giants take part in a winner takes all game against Arlan Cokshitai.
What?
Cokshitai? Anything?
Arlan
Cocksure time. Anyway, let's start by quickly reflecting on last night's game. David McGimsey, you were next to Mr. Simon Kitchen at this very spot doing the commentary, and what was a pulsating game here at the SSC Arena?
It certainly was an exciting game, I would say. For if there's such a thing in hockey as a neutral, it would have been a great, great game to watch. I know my dad was at home watching it, and he said this morning he started to critique the games as well, which is really good, because you have a chat with somebody else.
Where
hockey.
You get that from, like?
Always good, but you know, for the, it was a really great game to watch, and you know, fortunately for the Belfast Jazz, you know, we came out on top. It's been a physical game, which will obviously affect us today. It was a fast game, which will affect us today. Arlan obviously sitting back watching, pretty easy game for them yesterday, so we expect them to have a little bit more jump. But cup final on home ice, you know, as Simon talked about earlier as well, gonna have that wee adrenaline buzz as well going. So hopefully things will work out okay today.
Says, what was the key this time? They beat us last time in the final game back in November before we got into this round. What was different in last night's game that meant that we could take the victory?
We need to win the game to get to the final. By the time we already started that game against them, we would have needed to lose 8-0. At that point, 8 clear goals to be put out. So the mentality at that stage is already, we're already through. Let's get through to the end and look forward to our next league game. But last night's game, obviously, completely different. We need to win the game to progress to this one with a real good chance of getting silverware at the end of today. But I think that, you know, I do think that was the case. And again, the boys come out, I thought they played a brilliant game. You get punished at this level for making bad mistakes. We did that last night. They punished us twice. The first goal, we were trying to, 15 seconds into the period, we didn't come out until 20 seconds. Until into the period, you know, they get into the zone too easy, get into the net too easy, and passed it past best goal with a tip in front. The second goal, Darcy Murphy, like a brain fart, you know, he just needs to make another two strides over that line, stumped in. They come up ice, and 12 seconds later they score a goal. So today it's all about trying to maintain that the mistakes are kept at a complete minimum, and if they do, you keep them on the outside. Maybe you're absolutely blank.
Is that you?
Mate,
that's stinking.
Sorry, but that's nerves, boys, it's nerves.
Good job this isn't a scratch and sniff podcast. The Joel, Joel, the atmosphere in here last night was electric.
Absolutely phenomenal. We've been appreciating the Katowice fans all weekend long. You know, we've talked about how it's just an entirely different culture, both on the ice and off the ice, that kind of European hockey. You know, hockey over here is very North American-centric, both in the players that are here and the type of game night presentation, the way the fans respond. But last night, the arena really, really rose to the challenge. You know, I think the arena, it was another one of those nights, similar to the Sheffield weekend, where everybody here was bought in. Everybody was feeling the emotion, feeling the narrative of the story. Obviously, you had the sort of penalties, successive penalties that Katowice took at the end. Tom Cullen completely lost his mind, throwing the jacket down. The place was going absolutely nuts. Curtis Leonard's third goal, the absolutely amazing slap shot, into the West End, sent the place absolutely wild. He even said himself that he blacked out. For me, the Giants just won the individual battles last night. They came out and played with resolve and just had that extra little edge over Katowice.
Says Lenny's performance last night, man of the match performance and his second goal of the season. Top quality last night?
Yeah, I thought he was really strong. He's back there. Normally he's there to protect the last line of defence when Rochie jumps in. Rochie probably didn't have his best game last night as a Belfast chance, but I don't think anybody has any right to criticise him in any way, shape or form, because I honestly believe that he's been our, between him and Bescarani, has been our player of the season so far.
Ooh,
I think he's been
spicy excellent. Take Joe, again, that's spicy.
I know, but the thing about it is he doesn't get all the plaudits that the goal scorers get. You know, Riley's had a brilliant season, Murphy's had a great season as well. You're forgetting he's picked up 42 assists.
Yeah,
it's 42 assists. I think it's 5 plus 40, 42.
47 points in 47 games. Leads the team in shots by quite a distance. And for
so
a team, man,
that's impressive.
Both teams making their way to the ice for the warm up. We've got 39 minutes and 43 seconds before this game faces off. As you can hear, Davey McCallum getting starting this arena. We're expecting to be absolutely rammed. Davey, before we go quickly and talk about the what we're expecting from this game. Last night we did a view from the bridge live in McCool's. We had a decent night and a really good turnout.
A lot of fun. Got to thank everybody for turning up, because if people don't come, then it's just us four doing this. So, Robert up on stage, TV's Neil Coach Russell, obviously Luke from the IHL Media.
Omar Pasha.
Omar Pasha live on the FaceTime and Fish Iron, all the boys. So it's a really lot of good fun.
Oh, sorry, Chris. I got distracted by the fact that the music is so loud. Right, then let's talk about this game briefly before we let you all go. Joe, we'll start with you. Ireland, they're out there, they're warming up. They're an incredibly strong side.
Their first period of the weekend, actually, against Katowice, their pace was just absolutely explosive. They terrified me whenever they went 3-0 ahead and never looked like they left second gear. Adam Keefe, when I was speaking to him last night, reckons that it won't actually be the same kind of tempo and pace as Katowice. They won't just be as fast. I'm not sure. I saw a couple of bookies today actually had the Giants as a favourite. It's a little bit of an unknown for me. I think Katowice got off to a slow start in game one. Obviously, they looked very good against Gomel, but every team this weekend has looked good against Gomel. I can't call it. It's the magic of the cup as well. You know, you've got home ice advantage, thousands of excited fans, and the boys know that they are one game away, one tank empty away from being European champions.
Say, who's the key to this game? Both sides.
Both sides again. I think that you want to be looking at the back end of both teams. You know, whoever's going to play the best defense is going to win the game. Pescarani has been outstanding so far in the tournament. They've split the time. They've had a game each, Poloshkov and Demidov, and I think that could be a real big positive. If we have a big game from Besko tonight, and the boys in front of them, you know, starting from the forwards, coming backwards, that's going to be the most important part of it.
Davey, this group of Ireland, they're stacked with KHL talent. What sort of challenge, or how big is this challenge for the Belfast Giants?
It's huge. You know, we've seen them over the last couple of days, and they play that real structured defensive type of hockey. They don't give up odd man rushes. You know, they're always in position. I think I couldn't agree with Simon more. I think games are going to be won and lost by which goaltender performs the best tonight.
Well, that's where we're going to leave it for now, and we'll regroup after. We'll see how it is. The Belfast Giants are just about 37 minutes away at this point from taking on Ireland. Ireland in the what is a winner-takes-all gold medal final of the Continental Cup for 2019. Let's see how it goes.
A big collision in the corner. Nesterov and Curtis Leonard to the point. Winds up, gets a shot through. Through traffic, through Biscarwani, and Arlan take the first goal of the game. 8:09 to go in the first period. Moves forward, Brinikov, cross ice. Lovely touch in there by Yermolenkov. And Shatikov is beaten to the puck that time by Curtis Leonard, but it's kept in the zone by Malevich. Malevich takes his time, looking for a tip in front. And it's went through for 2-0. A turnover in the Giants' end. And this crowd is stunned. I'm not too sure, but actually got a tip in front.
Oh, it did, Simon. It did definitely. Big tip in front. I think Besko's asking, was it tip down a high stick? All comes from us sort of, not carelessly, but unfortunately turning the puck over there.
Far corner now, lays it out front. What a play again. Shot with an opportunity. What a save from Besko. That could really be a big momentum swing there, because it could have been 3-0 to Ireland. But the goaltender coming up with a huge save. Last man back is Kyle Vaughan. He's in all alone. Savenko with another big save from Pescarwani. Pescarwani loosened his stick. And Besko has to go and retrieve his own piece of wood. Shot coming in again. And Besko, this game, he is keeping us in this game. We need to start playing for him. He's been outstanding. Can't be cleared. The chance now again. Working hard. Josh Roach. In behind. Gets it out front. What a save. It's in the blue pit. And we've got that first goal. Right into the blue pit. You get rewarded. 2-0. Chris Higgins looks to be scoring the goal. Kiselia loses control. They're going for a chance. The Giants certainly got their chance in the back door. Yeah! Yeah! Come on! 3-8! Justin Johnner comes off the wall and puts it past the goaltender. 3-2!
Simon Collins James with the inside pass. Cutting to our face, Dustin Johnner. And Johnner rifles it home. The
silence of... Dave, is that roof still on? Johnner! So stay with us here, folks. Vladimir shoots! Oh, just wide of the post. One last chance. Shoots a three and it just stopped going into the net. We are going to overtime. What a final 20 minutes. Can't take the puck with him on that occasion, but goes well to get it back. Goffers got him on in front. Vladimir inside. Oh, he takes the shot. And it's a great save by the goaltender. Great poke check again. Darcy Murphy. Here comes the wee. Darcy dangles over the blue line. Feeds it in for Higgins. Higgins, forehand, backhand. What a save by the goaltender. And as the horn goes, we are going to a shootout. Here comes Gaznikov over the line now. Gaznikov in. And he slots it through. Best goes to the pads to take the lead. Dustin Johnner now needs to come in. Takes a shot. Takes it. And he scores! Yes! Come on! He ties things up at the SSC! Turn back to Gaznikov now again. Gaznikov.
Coming in with pace this time.
Over the line. Endley swing the circle. Steps in and he scores and he wins the Continental Cup. Here he comes. And once again, congratulations to Arlan Kostantsev of Kazakhstan.
Time for the post-mortem. The Belfast Giants unfortunately were defeated 3-2 on penalty shots by Arlan Kostantsev. Yeah, exactly. In what was a pretty incredible game at the SSC Arena. Give you a couple of the stats. Arlan took a 2-0 lead in the first period. Yegorov and Yermolyev?
Yes.
Scoring the opening two goals in the first period, arguably against the run of play. Into the second period, the Giants weathered what was a very strong Arlan team to keep it at 2-0. And then what was probably a third period that will live long in the memories of many Giants fans, and the atmosphere in the arena was unbelievable. As Chris Higgins on 47-44 pushed the puck over the line to make it 2-1, and just over a minute later, Dustin Johnner scored a goal that will cause the engineers at the SSC Arena to be checking the roof for the next 3 days to make sure it's still there. A roar that came up on the equaliser that we've never seen before. 2-2 it was. The Giants battled off a 5-on-3 in the back end of that third period really, really well to keep it at 2-2. And in the overtime, couldn't be separated despite another penalty trouble, Chris Higgins going for a trip. And in the penalty shots, the hero in penalty shots, as I look at it, was Gaznikov. Scoring 2, Dustin Johnner scoring 1 to keep us in. And ultimately, that was it. 3-2 to Arlan. Davey, your thoughts on the game?
But I've got to be honest, as I sit here, sort of, sure, it's at least an hour after the final horn or whatever gone, I'm just about able to keep the emotions in check. It's bubbling right under the surface here. Quite honest, I don't know if there's an element of tiredness over 3 long days. I'm sure the players are feeling pretty tired and emotional too, and pulsating game. You know, we went down 2-0, 2 goals and 6 shots, not ideal at the start of the game. You know, they got trapped in front of the best, but we couldn't. They kept this perimeter. You know, we were shooting from the outside, fairly easy stuff for the goalie to deal with, and then obviously we came roaring back in that third period, and as you say, the noise was incredible in the barn whenever it was 2-8, and I thought we had them in 3-on-3 overtime. Unfortunately for Higgy, we take a penalty, we end up with the kill, a couple of the 5-on-3 with the kill and the 2-minute penalty, and 3-on-3 overtime, obviously giving them the 4-on-3 advantage. You know, do I think on the overall share of chances and stuff, we probably, I don't think the Arlan would have argued had we came away with the regulation or indeed the overtime win. Penalty shots, it's a lottery. Patrick Dwyer beats the goalie, all ends up goalie's best friend, post and bar now. I think maybe when we look back at the penalty shots, some of the guys, I think maybe choppy ice, let's take the shot rather than try and dangle in. That was goalie, was very, very good at taking away the bottom half of that. You know, goalie of the tournament, man of the match, Tyler Pescarano, take a bye, was outstanding tonight, but just unfortunately for us, it's a real, real sore way to lose.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, if you could see the faces around this table right now, I think it's just a collective numbness at the minute. I'm honestly completely crushed. It hurts real bad. What you had there was a team who were phenomenal on the forecheck. They kept us pinned so deep for so long. Their first goal came basically just because of good forechecking. Curtis Leonard was hammered into the boards on the east end. They took a possession up into the circle and fired at home. They just were relentless. They rolled short, sharp shifts and lines and lines and lines.
Can I just to cut across, I don't disagree. Absolutely fantastic forecheck. But both goals that we conceded, we have opportunities to clear our defence. So I think at times, tonight and across the weekend, it's something we'll go back to work on. You know, we have to... Our land were outstanding clearing our defensive zone, getting it forward, pushing it halfway up the half boards, you know, shooting the moon and then tipping it out and getting a line change.
Yeah.
We need to be better at that.
You're okay, that's fair points, but I mean, when Dustin Johnner pulled a level, I've never heard noise like it, and I guess I allowed myself to believe it just was another one of those supernatural nights when you thought, you know, the good old Belfast Giants would be back and they would do the job. It goes to overtime, and then we take that penalty with something like 3 minutes left in overtime, and we kill it, and you think, there's no way we're not going to win this. It's just, everything keeps happening. You know, Besko had kept us in it for so long. We killed that penalty on overtime. Jim Vandermeer had an absolutely massive sniff at goal from somewhere in the mid slot. Paddy Dwyer, I think, hit the post in overtime as well. And then it goes to penalties, and then it goes to sudden death penalties. And honestly, it's a flip of the coin. We were beaten by a fantastic team who rolled short, sharp shifts. But this one's going to hurt. The question for me, and the only positive I can look at, is does an experience like that give us resolve? Does it galvanise everybody together for an assault on the league? Or are we tired and a few days away from a huge Cardiff doubleheader?
Says good point there made by Joel, especially the time twice we saw it, probably game on the stick twice to put it in the back. If you see Vandermeer kick the puck out and has an opportunity to pick a spot, but you know, Kroshkov does really well to save it. Same with Paddy Dwyer post. The Giants overall, your thoughts on the game?
I thought the first 20, they, you know, they weathered our storm, or the first 10 minutes actually, you know, we had a lot better chance. I think I asked Davey for the shots on goal after 11 minutes, and it was 10-4 to the Giants. You know, they get a chance to break up ice. We turn the puck over to their own end, we don't get it out, and they punish us. And that's, you can't do it to a team like Arnhem, because they did it a few minutes later. You know, the puck comes across the high slot. We don't get it out. I think Curtis Leonard reached for the puck and couldn't get it and ended up poking towards the blue line. Just a loft and shot, not much power on it. Tipped in front, Besko's no chance. And it's, you know, the two up. We get the end of the period. We battle through the second period again. They're still leading 2-0. The turning point for me to give us a lot of momentum is that kill 5-on-3. It was absolutely outstanding. I mean, Davey and I were calling the game. Joel was down behind the glass. Rayner, Curtis Leonard, and Pat Dwyer were immense, absolutely immense for the first 1:32, I think it was, of it. And then they were replaced, and the guys come out and did a great job. Ferner came out of the penalty box, then Johnner came out of the penalty box, and sort of, you know, you feel a bit of a lift. Getting that first goal, we got to the front of the net, we made it difficult for Poloshnikov, and you know, from where we were standing, we didn't even see the puck go in the net. It's just, there was a scramble. All of a sudden, the red lights go on. Higgy going nuts. We went nuts. And then a minute later, you know, honestly, I can't even remember what the call was like, but I know it was loud. So you need to turn the microphone down for that one. But getting us the OT, we had our chances to win it in overtime. The soft call, I thought, on Chris Higgins in OT. Again, another kill. 4-on-3.
Can I cut across you there? We
couldn't see it from the barrier right in front.
I will say, from my point of view, I didn't think it was a soft call. I thought it was a stonewall trip. Okay. However, it's overtime in a championship game.
100%.
And you have to basically take a lad's head off, surely. You know, it was a trip. If that was middle of the second period, I wouldn't hesitate to go, that's the easiest call in the game.
Yep.
But it wasn't the second period. Yep. It was overtime in a championship game.
Well, we killed it off, and you know, we still had a couple of chances after that as well. So overall, you know, David touched on, you know, we thought he did enough to win the game. I agree. I thought we did do enough to win the game. I thought that we get punished on mistakes that we made, and you give it the opportunities they got. We kept Kilsyliev, number 27, we kept him really quiet. Bernadinov, we talked about,
Burnikoff in the start of the, and we did the wee podcast at the start of the show. I started late in the game itself. I kept him quiet. You know, when you get goes to, it's a lottery when it goes to Palace. It's one of those things where, you know, you just try and just do your best. And as I said to Davey, every penalty, I took four penalty shots. I shot them all, scored three of them. The goalie's going to cover the bottom of that ice every single time. And if you get in too tight, you can't lift it up over top of it. And so it was disappointing for the way it ended, because again, it's I mean, that last, you know, 15 minutes on the webcast and doing the, you know, congratulations to Ardon, it hurts. Like, it really does. And when you're saying congratulations to these guys, right, they came in a long time and they were favourites coming into the group. I don't think our guys should be held in their heads now. I thought they were outstanding this weekend. 3-3. We saved the best period for last. Unfortunately, just came up a little bit too short.
Davey, we're talking on, you know, you were talking about various things, whether the Giants would run out of gas or whether the Giants would, but, and Sizz was the one who said these lads will have the adrenaline to go out in the third period, and that's exactly what they had.
I thought, like, a 2-0 down and would go on back at them, would try, kind of threw everything at them through the second period. It hadn't worked out for us. I thought going into the third period they would maybe come out with that little bit of jump. The adrenaline really, really pushed us through there. And when we got the first goal, they rocked a wee bit. When we got the second goal, they were out on their feet. Malevic is talking about during the game, 6'5", plays 5'2". You know, didn't want to know about the physical stuff. And
yep. He's a big trip.
You know,
yep. Literally. Yes.
And
learned about drop gloves.
You just, all we can do here, you know, what's done's done now. I'm very, very proud to be associated with this great club tonight.
John.
Pride is the word there. It was, I knew it was coming, but you know, in that immediate heartbreak of knowing it's over, and then the feeling of kind of numbness. I was down at the east end behind the glass, and I walked up along the ice into the tunnel, and just the collective faces that you see, and the different roles, from medics to arena runners to people that are involved with the team, guys running back and forward, everybody's got the same look on their face. Right through to the fans behind the glass, and in that sort of hurt, not to be too melodramatic, but there's a lovely sense of sort of unity in that. You know, it was a reminder to me that everybody here knocks their head in and works so hard for this one collective goal, and it was a nice reminder of that. It's going to hurt for a few days, but I couldn't be more proud of the guys on the ice, everybody who pulled together off it, everybody who makes this kind of thing happen. I'm proud even just to be here for the first time with you guys. This is the first time we've all been face-to-face ever, to be honest, the four of us together. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd rather have my heart broken and have this in my life than not. So we will carry on.
Nice way to put it. I want to wrap it up. We're not going to draw this out because we're all feeling pretty about it all.
We've all got very early flights.
Sorry?
We've got early flights.
And we've all got early flights.
I'm
except for Charlie.
Well.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'll go around the table anyway. From a Belfast Giants perspective, your player of the tournament, David.
Sorry, say it again, Paddy.
From the Belfast Giants perspective, the player of the tournament.
Paddy, there were so many really, really good performances. You know, Curtis Leonard was outstanding. For me, Garside was
three great
nights in a row. Tyler Bescarawani kept us in the final. Let's be honest, he wasn't overly worked in the first game. Had to do a lot last night and a lot tonight. So, you know, up front, Darcy Murphy, Pat Dwyer all had good games. You know, it's very hard to really pin the tail on the donkey there and say anymore. But if you're forcing me into it, I'm going to personally go with Mark Garside.
Mark Garside, Joel Neal.
Yeah, whenever Andrea Owens called it on Mark Garside, I think a day or so ago on Twitter, it sounded like a hot take, but you know what? She's got a point. Adam Keefe lets him play his minutes, and he knows the kind of hands and feet that Gary has, and just is such an understated player. But you have to look at Darcy Murphy this weekend. Absolutely phenomenal offensively. Pat Dwyer is always up there. But, I mean, you have to go with Tyler Bescarawani. Tyler Bescarawani kept us in it tonight, and we would have been long out of that game without him. It's Besco for me.
Paddy, what's yours?
Mine? Tyler Bescarawani. I look at that second period and I look at how well he was playing. I agree with Davey. You know, there are so many players on that ice that stepped up to another level. We talked to Curtis Leonard last week on the podcast, and I think he's a phenomenal player. Talked about how maybe he was a bit quiet behind the scenes and he doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Because when you're a D-man, you know, it, you know you're doing well when nobody's talking about you because you're doing your job. He stepped up this weekend and really stood out as a phenomenal. But Tyler Besker-Owani, the saves he pulled off in that second period allowed us to get back into the game, allowed us to get the 2-2. But it is difficult picking out one because as a team performance, I thought it was phenomenal. What would you say?
I think you've just mentioned the word I was going to bring into it. I don't sit in the fence very often. I'm not going to pick a player because I thought the team were brilliant this weekend. I thought they were outstanding.
Because I went around it, I had to pick somebody.
Got to throw my cap on somebody. It's got to be Besko. You know, Besko. He was immense, absolutely immense tonight. I mean, that save he pulled off last night to keep it at 0-0 with Katowice, you know, early in the game, it's the first thing in the highlights from last night that we Neil White put together. That's just phenomenal. Davey thinks it's a bad shot, but it's an unbelievable save.
Go on,
Davey. Let's just clarify. I think it's a phenomenal save, and of course, goaltenders really, really highlight real saves often come from being in a position where they have to scramble to make a save, and he's coming across and he puts that big mitt. But who was it for Katowice?
Deveca.
Defenseman. He pauses on the shot and he lifts it, whereas perhaps that comes to forward and he's got that whole ball on the net. Should have, you know, he won times it, game over. But yes, phenomenal save. Probably should have scored.
You've got, you know, Besko, as I say, he played 3-3. He was out there for every minute of the ice time and the penalties and the whole way through. He was out there for every penalty shot. He's played 185 minutes this weekend and he was outstanding. We talked about his last month, or actually last week in the podcast, about his December 7-5, I think it was. He started off this year with 2 wins against the Sheffield Steelers last week. He picked up 2 wins to start this weekend off and ended up going to OT. With the third game, we need to hold on to him. It doesn't matter, whatever we've got to do, we've got to do it. We talked last night, and a lot of bollocks is being talked about what Robert Fitzpatrick said in McCoon's last night about it all wasn't recorded, unfortunately, because so much shit has been put out on social media about that. You can edit if you want it.
There's
an Edinburgh Capitals fan put it out or something saying that there's something, and he wasn't even in the room. You know, pipe down, you haven't got a club. And we're, you know, where we are right now, Robert Fitzpatrick basically he actually put a question out for an answer, and he said, would you rather have a Patrick Dwyer or go to the Champions League? And for me, I said it last night, I think Continental Cup is exactly where we should be going. I would have loved to have won it tonight and go in for to hold on to the trophy again next year. But the bottom line is, where we are right now, I wouldn't change it. And if he starts wringing his finger, I'm going to stick it right up.
I'm with you, Simon. Like, we're here tonight, feeling a wee bit down the dumps, just beating in the European final. I'm under no illusions. If we go to the Champions Hockey League, which if we win the league are getting fighting through this competition, I don't think it's a slight on me or our club to say we can't win it. We'll have 6 games and we may get it'll cost a lot in terms of bringing players in a month early, extra housing, extra players required for bigger rosters to play 6 games, 3 at home, 3 away, that you don't really have. Would you rather be involved in nights like this or effectively dead rubbers in August and September?
The one other thing, you know, for what we've held here this weekend is another fella in the Belfast Giants camp. Joel touched on the guys off the ice, and without them, this tournament doesn't happen. The efforts and legs that Glover, he doesn't get, you know, all the names are bandied around. James Glover, yes, he's my next door neighbour, but he needs a massive pat in the back for that. He's been out of the house every morning at 7:30 this week, and he hasn't been in before 11 o'clock. Maybe actually, what time did he drop me off last night?
Midnight.
Well, I was home before him, and then he was back up again this morning at 7:30. James Glover, Michael Barr gets, you know, and like Sir Ross, Joe is James' wife, all the volunteers behind the scenes from that side of things. We Gordy and Brad, Father Brad, been here every single day this week, looking after all the bits and pieces that build in to put the tournament, I guess, together.
Matt the Music Man MacGyver for last night.
100%. Well. You know, it's all a lot of us, you know what I mean? We're doing all this. Again, we're a bit of a big deal around here, like. And again, the boys mentioned the word pride. Couldn't be any prouder than our team this weekend. I think we just... Yeah, you know, I don't think we could have done any more this weekend. Again, the boys get absolutely everything. I asked Joel a question on the webcast right at the start of the third period. I said, what do we need to do? And he said, you need to leave everything out in the ice. And he did that. And I think they can hold their heads high. They're coming up to McCoon's bars here very shortly. And do you know what? They should be giving a round of applause.
100%. We're here in the Heineken Lounge. We're going to wrap it up there with that comment. Thanks very much, boys. It's been a delight to spend the weekend with you. Says, well done. You've done 10 games in 2 weekends. That's not the... You can't shake a stick at that. That's an absolute phenomenal. Considering some of the names you had to read out, some of the studying you had to do, phenomenal. Not just you, like the Belfast Giants TV team were phenomenal all weekend. And, you know, the lads behind the scenes, Dave, Bert, all the lads, Johnny, all the guys doing the camera work, Joel at the glass, Davey, and all doing the cool comms. It's been a phenomenal weekend. The Belfast Giants came up short. Yes, they did. But they made a lot of Belfast Giants fans very, very proud of this arena. And we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, boys.
And that's it. Difficult end to a fantastic weekend. But a big thanks to Joel, to Davey, to Sis for their time through the weekend, just to step aside and have a few words and put together what is a bit of a different podcast. Before we got a few things just to cover before we end, but what we'll do now is, first of all, say a big congratulations to the Belfast Giants, who won the Belfast Telegraph Sports Awards Team of the Year for 2018. A great year for the Giants, another trophy in the cabinet with the Challenge Cup, and then went to that dinner just the other night and picked up Team of the Year. So congratulations to them. On Tuesday morning, following that award, Sis had the opportunity to catch up with Adam Keefe and find out his thoughts on the weekend.
Adam, we're speaking Tuesday morning after practice and looking back at a historic weekend at Belfast. So close yet so far, and unfortunately just cut losing out in the lottery and in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, never a way you want a championship game to end, that's for sure. But we did have our chances to win the game as well in regulation and in overtime. On a different day, probably goes our way. For whatever reason, it wasn't our night. Definitely a devastating loss to take, but certainly a game that we can take a lot out of, a lot of positives and a lot of, lessons to be learned, and great experience for this club to have to play under that type of pressure and that big of a game going forward. You know, we can draw on that and use that as motivation, because we certainly don't want to feel like we did on Sunday night.
When everybody's seen the guy standing on the ice after the game, and you could see that it's hurting him, I think that's a good thing, because if they didn't care, then you know they wouldn't be so distraught.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have a good group of guys, a good group of people, and I think that's important. You know, obviously coming into a coaching career, I'm not really sure how it's going to go, but one of the things I wanted to make sure is that we surround ourselves with good people, and usually success falls if you do that, and that's a good group of men in that dressing room, and I was really gutted for them and wanted them to be rewarded on that night for not just the weekend they had, but the entire season up to date. You want guys to feel that celebration and have success, and we were as close to it as you could possibly come. On Sunday, it didn't go our way. The good news is we get to go back to work and try and rectify that here this week and down the stretch.
You talk about this week, they don't come any tougher than a doubleheader against Cardiff. In Cardiff, you've had success there already this season, now they've taken a small lead at the top of the table. I'm sure the boys are going to be well up for it.
Yeah, you know what, I'm never really concerned about our guys going into games like that. They seem to come ready and prepared, and there's not a whole lot of motivational speeches that need done by me. They're ready, and they're ready for those games. So I expect that to be the case on Saturday. You know, it's something we spoke about after the game and today, that let's use that pain we felt on Sunday as motivation going forward here. And certainly use the experience of just playing under pressure like that. And let's turn that negative into a positive here going forward.
Cheers to Kiefer. Just to wrap it up, a few thanks. First of all, thanks to Matt MacGyver, who put together the sound system at A View from the Bridge Live. Can't forget that. It really set up the night and made it what it was. The man's an absolute legend with regards to being a long time servant to the club and playing the music, and he set up a fantastic PA and allowed us to bring that A View from the Bridge Live to you. So big thanks to him. Thanks to Jan's TV for his superb coverage right throughout the weekend. With Sizz on comms and Joe behind the glass, Davey doing his bit. It was fun to be a part of. Thanks to the Jan's themselves for their help through the weekend. Back to domestic action on Sunday, as the Belfast Giants take on the Cardiff Devils on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7 p.m, Sunday at 4 p.m. at the what is now called the Viola Arena, or Ice Arena Wales as it used to be called. You can get both those games on Ice Time TV, and of course with the Cardiff Devils riding high on the Elite League, this is an opportunity for the Giants to pick it up and, you know, gain some ground on the reigning league champions. The last time we were there, of course, was a stonking win for the Giants, and hopefully with Sunday's game in their mind, they know exactly what they can achieve and they'll go out there and pick up a couple of wins. So that is Saturday, 7 p.m, Sunday, 4 p.m, and you can get those games if you're not traveling over, which I believe quite a few people are, but if you're not traveling over, you can get those on Ice Time TV. There was quite a bit that happened in the Elite League over the course of the weekend, but we're not going to talk about the fact that Sheffield are 11th and have just gassed three of their imports. We're not going to talk about Zach Fitzgerald getting one punched, and we're not going to talk about the Panthers winning 4 out of the last 16 and sacking their coach. We'll try to deal with some of those next week. But for now, thanks to Andy French, to Albert Miles, and to Adam Keefe, everybody who went to A View from the Bridge Live, everybody who's been on this show throughout. What a great weekend, if a little bit bittersweet, but we've got some real pride in the team that we follow, and we'll carry that as the Giants run down the stretch and chase that Elite League title. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Steal you right.